Well, good morning. Hope you're doing well this morning, and it is my opportunity to be able to preach to you here this morning. Thrilled to do so. In fact, when I first came here in January, I always talked to Pastor Jeremy about different things, and you know, it's been hard for me. Preaching's in my blood, but it's been so good to be able to let this place be called home for us. We appreciate Pastor Jeremy, the messages and different things, very timely for us as well. And let me just mention as well, I haven't had this opportunity yet to have this platform, but your music here is incredible, and I hope you don't take it for granted. I mean, every special different things have been absolutely fantastic, and it definitely, as I have been here, been able to minister totally to my heart as well. And so I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart that, and it's good to get to know the Mendoza family. But my wife is here somewhere, I think. Okay, right here, my wife Tabitha. You probably just noticed as that couple. What are they doing here? We don't really know, you know. And so, and my daughter Janae, since she's so bad, she has to stay with us. So unfortunately, she's right there. But anyway, we love her death. And Jasmine, our 6-year-old, is in class. But I do want to point out this special group of people that's back here in the back, that's sitting right over here in this area. These are our language school. We attend Purgatory. I mean, language school together, and we have been through it, folks. We have punched walls, cried, done a lot of different things during this language process, and we have a long way to go, but you pray for us about this matter, and as we continue to keep on going down this path, the Lord has laid this specifically on my heart. I kind of asked the Lord, are you really sure about March? And I asked him, if you're really, really sure in April? And he says, still go with it. And so we're still continuing learning the language, and I do hope and pray by the grace of God in years to come that, Lord willing, we'll be able to have a ministry also among Spanish speakers as well. And I'm going to jump really right into the message. There's many things to be said, but we're going to start in 1 Samuel. I'm turning to the book of John. I'm sorry. That's next hour. We're going to preach to you with Pastor Mendoza. 1 Samuel chapter number 13. But let me explain a little bit of the direction we're going, because I'll give you the purview of the message and how some of you may feel at the middle of it. Can you still hear me? I think I have the mic. You're like, yeah, we can still hear you, big mouth. Anyway, it's like, anyway, make sure this mic is still on here. Good. Now, this message is a little different, but I want you to stick with me through the end, all right? If you bail out during the middle of the message as far as paying attention, you will think I'm an apostate, and you'll say, why on earth is Brother Jeremy letting him preach? Hear me out till the end, okay? Because I want us to see something that I believe is consistent as you go throughout Scripture. I enjoy things that are consistent. You know, it can't be true right here, and then, well, right here is not true necessarily. I like things that have a common thread as you go through the Bible. You know, as I travel at the country and different things, I don't have a lot of time to watch the news, and so I usually kind of, in the past, I did so more, but I would always ask my mom to kind of fill me in of what's going on in the world today. So I would call home, see how things were going there at the house, and then I would kind of lead statement and say something like this. I would say, hey mom, so what's going on in the world? And then she would proceed to tell me every depressing thing that is happening within the news at that time. And I remember as I would hear different things, and you hear stories, and it's like, why is there so much nonsense in the world? You know what I'm saying? It's like, man, why do people act like fools nearly all the time? And I know we're depraved. I know we are messed up. We are jacked up from the beginning as far as we are born with a sin nature. But it seems in a way that we've gotten progressively worse, you know? Like when you look at it from like, you know, okay, 30s or whatever, the sins that we're struggling with, there was nonsense going there. But it's almost like we have now jumped into the fast lane and are heading there and such a quick manner. Now, I'm not that old. Some may think I'm ancient, but I'm 32, and I'm already saying, I remember when it used to be like, you know, I remember when it didn't happen like that. Young people didn't speak like that. You know, I'm already doing that. I'm 32 years old. Now, I know I'm old, and I drive a minivan, and et cetera, but you still think in your mind in a way like, what is taking place? Now, but I begin to notice something. A pastor in Vermont made a simple statement at lunch, and I couldn't shake it, you know, and when he said it, you know, he didn't know I was going to create a message from him and different things, and he just made a statement after we heard somebody doing something absolutely ridiculous. We just heard, he said a statement, and he just kind of shook his head, and he says, where is the fear of God? You know what I believe has been lost? The fear of God. There was a fear of God in this nation. You know, even the person that was messed up, really messed up, had a line that you just don't cross. You know, just don't, you say you're going to do your drinking, you're going to swear, just don't do it in front of kids. You know what I'm saying? There was a line mentally that many people had. But you see, what happened is that the fear of God was lost. But what the sad thing is that the church folk don't even fear God. You know, I'm going to talk about that here this morning. And I'm going to use a story in 1 Samuel, okay? And so just before we start reading, I just want to arbitrarily start reading. We don't know what's going on. Let me set the stage of what's happening in this passage, all right? In 1 Samuel, did I tell you 13? I believe 1 Samuel 13. What's taking place? Yes. No, we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 12. I'm sorry. 1 Samuel chapter number 12. But what's taking place is Israel has been a theocracy. And has been a theocracy for a long time. God ruled over them. But the people began to look around and say to themselves, everybody else has a human king. Why can't we have a human king? They go to Samuel, the prophet. Samuel, why can't we have a human king? Samuel feels a little insulted, but he goes to God. God, they want to have a human king. Obviously, you are not sufficient any longer for them. Well, Samuel feels a little bit thrown under the bus because here he has been there for all these many years. He's been there to do their sacrifices. He's been there to wipe their noses when they had hard times. And now they're kicking him to the curb as well as God in his mind. Samuel, God said to Samuel, Samuel, don't get worked up about it. They have not rejected you. They've rejected me. Now let them remind them that if they go this route, their sons are going to be in battle. And all these extra things God says that's going to happen to them. Well, Samuel, stand before the people. He says, hey, look, if you want a human king, God says, fine. But there's going to be some things that go along with this matter about you wanting to have a king. And the people, they heard it. They said, you know what? We can live with that. Go ahead. We still want to have a human king. Samuel then goes and he's praising that. Now, after he comes back, he has this announcement to make to the people. All right. 1 Samuel chapter number 12. Here's where it starts in verse number 16. The Bible says this. Now, therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servant to the Lord thy God that we die not. For we have added unto all our sin this evil to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn not aside, for this shall be after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. More as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and cease to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. And he says this, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if he should still do wickedly, you shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Now, before we pray, let's talk about what just happened. Samuel stands before the people. As he stands before the people, the Bible says it was the middle of harvest time. And as he's giving this speech to them, it begins to rain. Say, what's the big deal? Well, the book of Proverbs says, as snow in the summer and as rain in the harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. When yesterday, it was extremely hot in Texas. I wanted to cry. Did anybody else feel that way? It was hot. Now, if I stood up and had a meeting, and I was preaching on the outside, as I was preaching, I said, people, and I pointed to the sky, and it started snowing. You would know it's an act of God, right? Now, what happens when it started raining, the people got scared because it doesn't rain in their harvest. This is an act of God. And they got scared. God is going to kill us for what we have asked for. The rain goes away. The people say, tell God we're sorry. We were just messing around. God says, no. You're going to get your king. You're going to get your king. But God just wants you to know exactly what he thinks. Now, as me being a prophet, let me just give a little bit of advice to you. For people who have just upset God in this type of response, he gives them some advice. He says, look, I'm still going to be here. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and cease to pray for you. I'm going to do your sacrifices. I will help you through this transition. But, verse 24. He says this, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. The message title's simple. It says, what is the fear of God? It's that word of prayer, though, as we get started, right? Before we get started, right? Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to preach your word, an opportunity I don't deserve. But, Lord, right now, the best way I know how, I ask you to empty me of myself and fill me with thy spirit. Well, I surely just want to be an instrument within your hand to do that which is your will. Lord, I thank you for the Mendoza family. I thank you for Pastor Jeremy, Lord, for giving this opportunity to be able to preach your word. And I know many other topics could be preached on, but I am for sure that even though this is not a very exciting and happy topic, well, I believe this is the direction you'd have us to go. Lord, I pray that you just, Lord, as we begin to look at this, I pray that you give understanding. Lord, illumine minds. Use your word to do that which we cannot understand. Lord, I pray that you just give us, Lord, the mental stability and, Lord, even stamina. As we've many have had possibly busy weeks as they've gone throughout these days. And I pray that we would be able to hear what thus saith the Lord. And I pray that we would be consumed with this and get an understanding of what this is all about. Lord, use this time that we have together. We don't want to squander it. We don't want to go through the motions. We don't want to check off boxes of just being in church. Lord, we want you to speak to our hearts. We want you to do it this morning. And we thank you for this time that we have together. For it's in Christ's name we do pray it all. Amen. You know, so here's what's taking place. I want to pretty much just define those two phrases. Fear the Lord and serve him in truth. And as we look at this, I begin to look, okay, what exactly does this word fear mean? Well, the Hebrew word is yare, all right? And that Hebrew word yare has the idea of this, to fear, to revere. It has, let me make sure I get, oh, to be fearful, to frighten, to be affrighted up. In fact, that same word fear is the same word that's used earlier. Remember when the rain was coming down from heaven and the people thought they were going to die and they feared, they feared at that point. It's the same word that's used there. So it has the idea of being affrighted or to be scared of. And Samuel looks at these people and he says, look, you ought to fear the Lord. Woo! It's kind of rough there, man. No, Adrian, I don't like that. I don't like that view of God. You're making God like a monster at this point. Now listen, I like I said, stay with me through the end. But as you look at it, this is what he says. Let's not just take away. It's not just, you know, honor, really, really powerful. No, he said, fear. Fear the Lord. Now, as you look at this, you say, well, Adrian, okay, let me ask a question about this, about your definition that you got going on right here. Now, you say definition, but then the question then that people ask is, Adrian, then, are you suggesting then I should be afraid of God? Stick with me. Let me give you an illustration. I told you I have another daughter. Her name's Jasmine. She's in the, I hope she's somewhere. I didn't drop her off, but she's somewhere in this building, right? Now, Jasmine, we live in a fifth-wheel trailer. We travel across the country and different things, and if you were to walk inside our fifth-wheel trailer, as soon as you walk up the steps, about knee-high, there's a little red key. What it does is you take that key and you turn it. When you turn it, it stops using power, like, from the church, if we're plugged into a church, and we use the power from a battery that we have in the front of our trailer. So we would be happily going along, and Jasmine, when she was younger, would just go over, and she would always just turn that key. And then, you know, after killing a bunch of batteries in the front, I find, what is going on? And I realized the culprit, my little child. And so it became a rule in our house. Jasmine, do not touch that red key. Do you know how many whoopings that child has had over that little red key? I mean, it's just like, please get me, please get me. I don't know what it is. But as she goes over there and she keeps turning that red key. Now, if you brought Jasmine at that time in her life, and you sat her right here in front of everybody, and she had her little favorite dum-dum lollipop, and she was looking away. And you asked her, now, Jasmine, we have a question for you. In front of all these adults that are here, Jasmine, are you afraid of your daddy? Are you afraid of your daddy? Now, if you sat right here, and she's sitting there, she's looking, and she's like, afraid of daddy? He gave me this. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to register. Now, let's just say you came to our trailer. And let's just say at that time, she was playing with the little red key. Now, over on this part of the trailer, we have our kitchen. And inside of that, we have a whole lot of tools that we use to administer corporal punishment. We have some spoons. That's what we got in there. Now, let's just say I got this spoon, and I had it in my hand. And I'm walking toward Jasmine with the spoon in my hand. Now, she's here turning the red key. She looks up and sees Daddy. And you took a picture of that emotion, click, click, and you brought it here. And you said, Jasmine, are you afraid of your daddy? Yeah! Yeah! Oh, come on now. Big black man hands you the big stick. I'd be scared. If you're not, you're going to watch the news a little bit more. You say, what? Adrian, well, wait a second. That's not kind of a spirit that you want to have inside your children. Listen to me and listen to me well. Do not take this out of context. Look at the book of Proverbs. The Bible says this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Follow me. What is knowledge? Knowledge is, I know I should not touch the red key. I know it. I know it. Now, as you have knowledge inside your mind, it doesn't mean you're going to do it. How do you get from knowledge to wisdom? Wisdom is knowledge applied. That I am not, I know it, therefore I don't. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the beginning of Proverbs is the beginning of knowledge. As you keep on going to the beginning of wisdom, you say, how do you get from this thing called knowledge over here to wisdom? The beginning of it is what? The fear of the Lord. There is someone who says, no, sir. There is someone who slaps the hand. There is someone who draws a line. There is someone who says, there are some things that just cannot be done. And it is Almighty God. And it is a reason to fear. Say, Adrian, I don't like that. Okay. Let's do an application real quick. If there's no fear of God, then what stops anybody from doing anything? What stops a man from going into his work and killing all of his coworkers? There's no fear of God. What stops anything from taking place? There is no absolute. There is no right and wrong. There is, we can do freely what we choose. There has to be someone who says no. It is Almighty God, and he says it through his word. Now, a lot of times when I preach to teens a lot, right? And as I'm preaching at camp or something, I'll look at the teenagers and different things, and I used to be like this, you know, hey, teenagers, I tell you, you better watch out now. You know, you got that iPod stuck up in your ear. God can hear everything you hear, you know, different things, you know. God sees everything you see. When you're watching that stuff online, God can see everything. Now, that is true, but guess what? Who cares if the kid don't fear God? Who cares? God hears what I hear. God sees what I see. Who cares? If there is not a fear of God inside of their soul, the presence of God is meaningless. And for some people, that's very much the case. You can tell me God is watching me from on high. You can sing a little song, but it doesn't change my lifestyle because I don't care what God thinks is the bottom line. Now, a lot of times we see this now. We see this played out in different areas. And let me hasten on. We see it play in different areas. Now, we expect the world not to fear God. Now, I was preaching in Las Vegas, right? And Las Vegas is Sin City, and boy, they got it. You know, it is awful, a lot of different things that you're exposed to in there in Vegas. Well, a friend of mine took me to Vegas when I was preaching out there, and he took me around. And as you leave Vegas, there's a sign that says something like this. It says, hey, are you broke? Get tugged. I had never heard the expression get tugged before. And so as I was, you know, that was a question. What exactly is that? Well, a lot of times what happens is many people go to Las Vegas and spend everything they have. And as they have nothing left, they cannot even have enough money to get home. And so what happens, there's little stations all on the outside of Las Vegas surrounding it. And if you walk inside of their little shack and you go ahead and you pose, any normal person can pose for a rated X movie, they get enough money to head back to their house. And they advertise that on a billboard, and it's known that if you run out of money, at least you have that option. Man, there was a day that even the nasty people wouldn't do something like that. I mean, who has in their right mind can sit on the side of a road and pass out flyers that is acceptable? But, you know, we expect that the world's not going to have a fear of God. But let's change the view over to this side. And when you change the view to this side, when the church doesn't fear God, you know, my dad didn't go to church when growing up, and my mom kept us in church faithfully, and there was a time when my dad was starting to not stop going to services or whatever that I thought to myself, you know what? I ain't going to church either. I'm going to be like dad. I'm going to stay home from church, right? And our church service, we had a Sunday morning, a Sunday evening service. And so I go Sunday morning, I look at my dad, you know, whatever. I look at my mom. I ain't going to church on Sunday night. I'm going to stay home with dad, right? And so I would be there. And here I got me down. And I said, watch my buds go off to church. And I sat down. And I'm going to watch me some TV. Here, man, I'm going to watch me some TV. Get the remote in my hand. Get ready. Turn the TV on. I was scared. I thought, man, if I hit this button, the thing going to blow up. You know what I'm saying? Like, why? There was put in me a fear of God. I know full well what I ought to be doing. And I am willingly go against. Is God going to send a thunderbolt from heaven? No. But I knew what God expected of me, and I knew better. But down to you can happen a lot of times. Hey, baby, you feel like going trash? I don't feel like it. Hey, on your way home, get some popcorn, grab a red box, move it away home. We're just going to go ahead and do our thing tonight. Where's the fear of God? I mean, we can go ahead, point fingers. Oh, get tugged. That's so nasty. Oh, look what they're doing over there. That's so messed up. But when the church house doesn't fear God, that's where the problem begins. You know, now that's not all that he says, all right? Now stay with me. I know that some are quoting 2 Corinthians. Hold up. Now, it says, fear the Lord, and he also says this, and serve him in truth. Now, as you look at this word, serve him, it has the idea of to enslave, to be a bondman, to be a servant of, to be a laborer of. So you say, Adrian, I'm really not liking the way you're kind of phrasing things here. First, you're suggesting in some way that I should be afraid of God. And then now you're suggesting then that God, he is telling him, serve the Lord, like you're supposed to be some type of bondman or slave unto God. Yeah, that's what he's saying. Now, sorry, just one moment. I sweat a lot. Just one second. You know, if you read in the rest of chapter 12 earlier, he starts off his argument by telling this. You know, it is the Adrian paraphrasing, but he goes through them a list of blessings. Yeah, do y'all remember, guys, back your grandfather's father, whoever back way back? Remember that they were in Egypt taking mud, trying to make some bricks. Remember that? And if God, by his miraculous hand, did 10 miracles and blew the mind of every Egyptian. And if that wasn't enough, he took you to the Red Sea, right? And he split the thing in half. And if that wasn't enough, you needed food. He gave you food from heaven. If that wasn't enough, you needed water. And he took water, he brought it out of a rock. If that wasn't enough, their shoes, they never ran. They continue to be just fine. If that wasn't enough, he says, just look at what God has done for you. And now, he's not good enough now. You're a human king. You know, how sad is this? I pray this is my testimony, and I speak it boldly. If God chose to never bless me again for popping my tithes envelope inside the offering plate, and if God chose to never bless me again for making sure that I read my Bible in the morning, and if God chose to never bless me again for making sure to have a consistent prayer life, and if God never blessed me again for telling my faith to another lost person, if God never blessed me for any of those things, he'd still be good, and he'd still be God. You know, you can call whatever you want, bondman, slave. Man, I call this payback. For all that God's done for me in my life, man, I stand right here. Man, if I died right now, I'm telling you, there's not like a little flitter. There's nothing about me that's going to think, am I going to go to heaven or not? Just to have that resting truth from the Word of God that if I drop dead, I would go to heaven. My friend, his worth is priceless. When you think about all that God has done for us, and as he had done, now God didn't work in their schedule, and God didn't work upon their time frame, and God wasn't necessarily enough to make them cool, and God wasn't enough now to help them succeed in their job, and God now, at this point, you look at all the things that he's done in the past, but now, not convenient, so we throw him to the side. He says, serve the Lord in truth. Now, that was the question. Now, the application is this, all right? Real quick, in verse number 25. I'm almost done. Just verse 25. All right. But it says, first, consider how great things he hath done for you. But he says this, but if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Now, you got to follow the emotion here, okay? They're standing before Samuel. The people are looking. We'll say down here. Say before Samuel. Samuel, you want a king. And then Samuel, it starts raining. Oh, no, we're going to die. Then they look up. Samuel says, hey, look, you're still going to get your king. Yes. Samuel says, guess what? I'm going to be here to do your sacrifices. Yes. Samuel says, let me give you some advice. See how it is when people already got what they want? Okay, give me a little word from the Lord. Yeah, you're already going to give me what I want, but let me hear what you got to say, you know? And here what you got to say? And they say, fear the Lord. Oh, yeah. Serve the truth. Oh, yeah. We're going to do that. But then Samuel comes in and he throws it down. He says, but if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king.
You know what he says? If you keep on acting like a bunch of fools, God's going to kill you and your little king. That's what he said. He said, oh, Adrian. Now listen very closely. I cannot expect to live in outward rebellion against God and there not be consequences for it. God is not a Build-A-Bear that you just come and squeeze and he just says, I love you, I love you, I love you, every time I do wrong. God has shown his love 1,000,001 times about his son's death upon the cross. And he has proven it, and there is nothing more he has to prove. But listen to me, he has so given to us everything. But my friend, God loves us, but hear me, God hates sin. And sin will always be punished. So now look, God wants to has his hand on this people, and you know their spotted past. Man, they give up, and yes, God is a God of second chances. He's not just slapping them on the head. He is a God of grace. He is a God of long-suffering, but he is a God that is holy and despises sin. Now, remember I said, heretic, Adrian? Okay, wait. Let me draw it together, put a bow on it, and we can all smile, all right? Adrian, are you suggesting that we live in fear, like, oh, if I don't read my Bible in the morning, oh, my goodness, he's going to kill me. Oh, baby, you better read your Bible. You better read your Bible. You know, God's going to kill you if you don't read your Bible now, you know. Is that how I live my life? No, I would believe that I want, my desire is to live in the fear of God. Hear the verse, though, in the book of Proverbs. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I hope not to be spanking my child when she's 25 years old. Now, I might, but I'm just saying, it's not the goal, you know what I'm saying? I hope by the grace of God that what was a second God, love constrains me. Now, let me give this illustration. In this context, I hope it makes sense, okay? My wife and I have been married for 7 years. Yes. Whoa. Wow, that was bad. 7 years. And one of the first meals my wife made for me was spaghetti. Now, in my family, I have a history of women who could tear it up in the kitchen. Man, they could take anything and make a masterpiece of it. And I'm living proof of that fact. I love food. Now, when my wife was making her first meal, she knew that, you know, I had quite the palate, and I like different foods, right? And I remember when she was making her first thing of spaghetti. I don't know how to make spaghetti, but she's over there, man. What do you do? Boil. She's over there boiling. I don't know, you know. She's over there making spaghetti, right? She's making the sauce, and she's doing all the things all together. Now, as she's doing all these different things, wow, I'm so sweaty, I'm like taking this thing off. But as she's doing all these different things, she mixed it up. Do you know that she made that meal, listen closely, in fear of me? You say, what now? Man, we know you crazy. Now you crazy and abusive. Here. Man, your wife is over there. No, listen. Listen closely. In context of what I said, hear me out. This is so important. Put the dots together. Put the connection together. Listen close. She loved me so much that she didn't want anything to disappoint me. Her fear wasn't, oh, he's going to hurt me. Oh, no. She loved me so much. She did not want to disappoint me. She avoided anything. And she felt would somehow disappoint me, and the motivation was the love that she had for me. Listen close. Adrian, why do you want to be a good dad? Oh, so people can come over and say, oh, you got a nice family. No. Because I fear that God will look at my life and the way that I am raising my family, and it would grieve him. Why do you want to be a good worker at your job? Oh, so I can get that extra promotion up there. Yes, sir. No. Because I fear that God will look the way that I do business in the workplace, and he will look at my life. It would grieve him. See, here's the thing. Many times we don't care what God thinks. I don't care. If I told you right now that your favorite show grieved God, you stop watching it? If I could prove, if there was no type of thing of prove it for me from the Bible, give me chapter and verse, if there was none of that, and God came to you directly and said, this friendship that you have right now, it grieves me. Would it do anything? You see, when you look at this from this kind of standpoint,
it changes every area of my life. It makes me begin to think, it makes us begin to think and begin to look at every situation that I get myself into, and I begin to think to myself, and the priority, the question above all questions is, God, are you pleased with what is taking place in my life right now? That's living the fear of God. Living the fear of God. You know, a lot of times a youth pastor come to me and, hey, brother, see this kid right here? Yes, sir. Let me not be so sarcastic. He'll come and he'll say, hey, brother, you're going to meet this young man right here. Full of potential. Look at this young man. I tell you, I mean, he barely in church and he barely reading his Bible. But I tell you, he's a born leader now. I tell you, he's a born leader. And he can, people in the youth group just listen to him. And listen. I have a message I preach at camp. It's called this. Potential is just potential. I hear that word a lot. Potential. Man, he got potential. That's wonderful. But guess what? He could do nothing. It's just potential right now. You say, Adrian, what's the point? The point is, give me the kid who barely can tie his shoes but fears God. Give me Miss Uncool but fears God. Give me the dad that's not just making big bucks, but the dad who fears God. God says, give me the church that just fears me. You know, when you look at it, if there's any area that I pray to God that we could have across the board a revival in, it's as a church, as a place, a church in the fear, a revival in the fear of God. Now listen, you know, are you playing off the invitation? Can you come on up? You can go ahead. You don't have to start playing right now or anything, but if you don't mind coming up, you know, there are some people here, and it's kind of like, wow, you've painted God like a monster, and I hope that I have not. I want to be consistent as I go throughout, but let me be honest with you, my friend. If you are here and you're not saved, there's a reason to fear. Not just respect, not just honor, not just reverential, fear. God loves you, but God hates sin, man. You will not go to heaven with your sin. Some people say you're going to pay that debt because you're going to be real good. Bible said that ain't going to happen, not of works, my friend. Some people think to themselves they have a whole lot of ideas and a whole lot of plans. And my friend, just because you have a whole lot of thoughts and a whole lot of considerations don't mean you're right, because when I line up to the word of God, it don't matter what Adrian says, it matters what God says. And in his word, he says this. He says that there's no man comes unto the Father but by me. And that was Jesus speaking. I must come to him and ask him to save me from my sin. Not just out of a bad situation, not just a terrible marriage, no, from my sin. My friend, there is a reason to fear. You know, just a moment, you know, I know an invitation means different things, but listen to the word, it's an invitation. I invite you, okay? It's an invitation. I am just a moment going to invite you. If my friend, if you don't have that security and that peace to know that you, if you died, you would go to heaven. Man, I don't care what background you come from, I don't care who your granddaddy is, we all got to come to realistic grip of that question of knowing for sure we're on your way to heaven. And in a moment, I'm going to invite you that if you don't know, that you get that matter settled. In Christian, there's nothing magical about an altar. I get it. I know it. But, you know, there's something to be said. If I needed $100 from Pastor Jeremy, and I saw him, do you mind staying up for a moment, Pastor Jeremy? And I saw him and I said, hey, Pastor, can I get $100 from you, man? Can I get $100 from you? You know, he would look at you and say, man, are you messing with me? Man, are you serious? I mean, now what if I did this? What if I saw him standing? I got on my knees. I said, Pastor Jeremy, bro, I need $100 from you, bro. Is there no doubt of my intention? You know, I said, think you have a seat. There's nothing magical. But there's a difference. God, I have not feared you. I have not cared what you thought. I'm more consumed with how many followers I have on my Instagram account than I care about what you think of my life. I care more about what my employer thinks about me than you think about my life. I care about so many things more than what you think of my life. And that dance has got to stop. It's hard.
It is very hard to mistake that from just being Mr. Casual with God. I'm not going to beg, you're not going to plead, you're not going to woo you. Just going to let God do what he does in our heart. Can you all do me a favor? Can we just bow our heads and close our eyes? If you're a visitor here, the only reason I'm asking you to do this is just for privacy's sake. This is no type of thing. No one's going to come hit you in the head. No one's going to be coming over here asking for your email address. I am just going to ask a question, and the only reason I'm having head bowed, eyes closed, is to just for that privacy matter. That's the only reason why, okay? Here's my first question. Who would say, Brother Adrian, I don't know you, don't know much about you, but I know that if I were to die, that I would go to heaven. Not saying I'm all I ought to be in my life, but I do know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise your hand just a moment? Say, Brother Adrian, I know that. I'm not saying I'm all I be in my life, but I know for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. You raise your hand, I put it right back down. Thank you so much. You put your hands down. Now, let's do the question. I'm not asking how long you've been in church. I am not asking who your granddaddy is. I am asking this to you. You would say, Brother Adrian, I'm not going to lie to you. I cannot say that. I am not sure that, Brother Adrian, if I were to die, that I would go to heaven. Right now, the question is from me to you, not me to you, and the rest of the people in your youth group, not me to you and your spouse, just me to you. Who would say, Brother Adrian, I am not sure that if I were to die, that I would go to heaven. Could you raise your hand just for a moment and put it right back down? Thank you so much. Just put it right back down. Put it right back down. Thank you so much. Brother Adrian, I cannot say that with confidence. You just might need assurance of the matter. You say, Brother Adrian, in the past, I have asked the Lord. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. But right now, you say, Brother Adrian, that is not, I do not know. For those who raise their hand, anybody else? Okay, Brother Adrian, I'm not sure. Pastor Jeremy or Pastor John, could I have you go to the back? Could you go to the back? Now you say, Brother Adrian, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I am not sure that I am saved. Or you just have a question about it. Fine. Who, if you say, Brother Adrian, I'm not sure, look at me. Everybody else, keep your head bowed. Everybody else, keep your eyes closed. Ms. Shiva, would you begin playing whatever you choose? Who say, Brother Adrian, I'm not sure, look at me. Just look at me. That's all you got to do. I'm not going to walk to you. I'm not coming to you right now. Just look at me. There you go. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. Just look at me. So I'm not going to do anything. In just a moment, we're going to have the invitation. Some Christians may come here to the front. What I am asking you to do is Pastor John is right there in the back. All I'm saying is go right to, stand up right here and just go right back to where he is. And he will himself or somebody else will take a Bible and how you can know for sure. That's all I'm asking. You can bow your head and close your eyes back again. Christian, do you fear God? In the South, I hear this all the time. Oh, around here, brother, we are God-fearing people. We are God-fearing people. If I haven't touched my Bible in a week, I am not a God-fearing person. God help us. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, can we all stand to our feet across the building? If God has spoken to your heart and you feel led to be able to come to this altar, then right now I ask you to come forward. If you say, God has spoken to my heart and he has led you in such a way that come to this altar, I invite you at this time to come to this altar. If you say, Brother Adrian, I'm not sure I'm saved, would you just go out to the back? Yeah, there you go, there you go. Just make your way out to the side. People, get out of your way, bro. It's all good, it's all good. Just go right back to the back where he is. You say, Brother Adrian, you're not sure. I am sure I am on my way to heaven. There you go, there you go. There you go. Just scoot out. He's going right back there in the back. He's going to take to a spot where he can get this matter of salvation taken care of. You say, Brother Adrian, I didn't raise my hand. That's fine. He's back there in the back. There's other people who would be honored to be able to take a Bible and show you how you know for sure. Hey, Christian, as we pray here at this altar, can we just not get vague? God, help me to do better. God, help me. Let's get real. God, I haven't cared about what you thought, and I'm sorry, and it's got to stop right now. God, help me. Oh, man. You say, Brother Adrian, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Oh, if that's you, please still, there's time. Please still go to the back. My friend, I don't want to sit here and try to get the bells and whistles to scare you, but I am going to be forward with you. There is a reason to fear. If I do not know Jesus Christ as my Savior, and Christians, may we be so consumed with the love of God inside of our hearts that every time we make God's skin crawl in the least, we're already grieved. Oh, my goodness, if there just be a fear of God. Oh, you should pray as you pray here. Pastor Jeremy, would you go ahead? You can make your way up here as we pray. Father in heaven, Lord, how we thank you for this time. Well, I stand at an altar, and I definitely should be upon my knees, upon my face. And Lord, so many times I have come to the point of not cared what you think, what you thought about my life. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would renew that power, that once again, that fear of God within my heart, And I pray, Lord, that you'd help each person, Lord, that has bowed the knee. There are many, Lord, that you didn't leave that way, and that's fine. But, Lord, as they are there inside their seats, Lord, that we will not just have another week where we just go through the motions, we just say our thing, and we just go about and live our life the way that we have chose to live it. But I pray that we will be consumed about what you think. Lord, I pray that they'll rise out from this group of teenagers, Lord, who is more consumed with what you think than their peers think. Lord, I pray that there'll be men that leave this church, Lord, who will just be on fire for you, mostly concerned, Lord, wholly consumed with the passion of your word. God, grant it. God, help this church. Put your hand upon it as they move forward in the future. Thank you for the ones, Lord, who acknowledge the matter about salvation and showing they have a need. I pray all those questions will get answered. And I pray, Father, that you will be honored and glorified of what takes place in their life. We thank you so much for everything you've done and will do. In Christ's name, we pray it all. Amen.